If you do an internet search for Great Lakes permaculture or Midwest permaculture, you'll soon discover this is a thriving movement in Michigan. Nate Ayers is with us now. He's founder and director of Chiwara Permaculture in Ann Arbor. Let's get very, very basic, Nate. Just what is permaculture design?
Permaculture is an ecological design science. It's a pedagogy that consists of principles and ethics. But really, at the foundation of permaculture, it's about creating a lens that we can use to interact with and produce very sustainable and resilient environments. At its core, permaculture is about designing sustainable food systems. When it was first started in the 1970s by a couple of Australians, it was short for permanent agriculture. Mm. These Australians were realizing that the way that we were growing food was not going to be very sustainable into the future because of what we're doing to biodiversity, old growth forests, and what's happening to our soil quality. So they spent a lot of time studying ecology, spent a lot of time observing. And they came up with this system of encountering nature and designing patterns and systems that really mimic nature's brilliance. And one of the benefits of these brilliance is to be able to produce abundant food, renewable energy, as well as sort of a lot of the staples that we associate with modern society, whether it's medicine, fibers, fuels, things like that.
So it's really gone from an idea of how to conduct agriculture to a whole life mindset.
Yeah, that's the beauty of this lens, what I sort of refer to as a nature-based systems thinking lens, is that we can pull all of these lessons from nature, from the woods or the forest or a place like that, and see how nature is really a closed-loop system. There's no such thing as garbage in nature. There's no waste produced. Nature recycles everything. So we can take these lessons and these observations from nature and apply it to just about every other field of human endeavor.
Now, you have had a pretty interesting personal journey from being in a funk band to founding and directing your permaculture design team. Tell us how that happened.
I got interested in sustainability when I was in college at Indiana University. And while I was there, if you remember the year 2000, Y2K bug, I got a little spooked about what was happening in the world and afraid that, you know, the computers were going to crash and all this associated mayhem.
The wheels were going to come off the wagon.
That's right. So I got really interested in self-sufficiency and sustainability, in nature awareness and really how to thrive in nature without defeating it. So I was a musician at the time, playing professionally in a bunch of different bands. Had this interest of sustainability starting to emerge, though. Got really interested in solar power, solar photovoltaics, received some training for that. And after college, moved back to Ann Arbor, was in a pretty popular band called the Third Coast Kings, and they're still around. And had some success doing that, but really started to realize it wasn't as fulfilling as I hoped for, and sort of started to realize that the promise of the entertainment industry wasn't as fulfilling as maybe some have led others to believe. So got a bit disillusioned with all that and ended up stepping aside from the band and really starting to pursue permaculture full time as a result of going out to California and taking my permaculture design certification in 2009. And so after doing that, came back to Michigan and was just, this is what I want to do with my life. So stopped playing in the band and started my own company. And it's been a bit of a journey ever since.
And you really have, you've converted your home. You started teaching classes out of your home, using it for research and development for the classes. What goes into converting a house to permaculture?
A couple big questions came up for me when I really decided to go gung-ho into permaculture. The first one being, how do we get the modern American house off of fossil fuels? In a couple different areas, food, energy, water, building, transportation, and waste. I started to look at my house in Ann Arbor really like an R&D lab and started growing as much food as possible anywhere where it would grow, in the backyard, front yard, side yard. Started doing some things with the water utilities in our house to be able to align things. A lot of talk about gray water systems and recycling water throughout a home. But looking at renewables, of course, energy audits and things like that help us use less energy so that we can start to have a successful dialogue about solar power and wind power and things like that. But really looked at my house like a living, learning laboratory. And I was really fortunate to get involved with Washtenaw Community College on the front end of my teaching career. And they actually let me teach classes at my house through Washtenaw Community College. So every month would have a couple different classes, and we did these permaculture two-day intensives where about 15 people would come out to my house, and we would go over the permaculture principles and ethics. But then the biggest thing about permaculture is getting people hands-on experience. It really doesn't do it justice to learn about this stuff online or in a book. You have to get out there. You have to get in nature. You have to get your hands dirty. So that's
engage.
What we started doing. Yep.
And you've partnered with schools in Detroit and Ann Arbor. So take us further into ways to kind of integrate permaculture into traditional learning.
What we're really talking about here is that the old models and the old systems of infinite growth on a finite planet aren't really working out for us anymore. And what I saw in permaculture essentially was a new operating system that was built on building regenerative systems. To me, it became really important to spread this message, and I would talk about it with anybody that would listen. But I was fortunate enough to, you know, have a little bit of a background in education coming from college, in that I had friends who were teachers in Ann Arbor, and they allowed me to pilot a lot of this stuff in their K-12 classrooms. Started developing some curriculum that utilized permaculture as a vehicle for STEM education, STEM, mm-hmm. science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And found a lot of success with schools that were having difficulty really engaging their students in this new way of thinking in practical ways. To come along with permaculture curriculum that got students outside, engaged with their natural environment, doing a lot of observation and data collection outside of the classroom, but ultimately focused on solutions, became a really powerful driver in my life. And when we talk about, you know, designing systems for long-term sustainability, engineers have this concept of leverage points. And a leverage point is where we can intervene in a system to have the greatest effect. And I see education as being one of those leverage points where if we can design, you know, curriculum and pedagogies that get kids involved in good community-based solutions and solving community problems, that's really, really worthwhile. And so that's what we were able to have some success with early on with our permaculture curriculum.
And you're also partnering with the University of Michigan. And what are you working on there?
I started partnering with the University of Michigan in 2012. Mm-hmm. I was brought in by the Graham Institute of Sustainable Studies to do a research course, essentially trying to figure out where does permaculture fit at an institution like the University of Michigan. So they gave me a couple of interns, got them skilled up in permaculture design systems and this lens I keep talking about.
Yeah.
And we started to ask the question, you know, where does this idea fit at the University of Michigan? Is it engineering? Is it design? Is it the School of Natural Resources and Environment? And what we ultimately found was, yes, all of it. But it took us a couple different semesters of really refining our approach about what kind of pedagogy is this, what students will this apply to. And so over the course of the last 3 years, we've done some grant writing. We've done some more classes. I continue to do research projects with U of M. And a lot of it culminated this past year when we got some grant funding to install a 3-acre sustainable food forest at Matai Botanical Gardens. So there's a University of Michigan permaculture design team, which I'm the advisor for, and they're in charge of maintaining and really teaching from this new permaculture installation at the Botanical Gardens. It's really caught a pretty fast edge at the university, and there seems to be a lot of enthusiasm for it now.
You are planting seeds in young minds from, as you say, from K through 12, and then now on through community college, through the University of Michigan. What rewards do you believe will reap from this growing awareness and understanding of permaculture, especially as these youngsters move up and become the decision makers?
Well, it's my hope that ultimately we can get to a place where every decision that's made takes into account what is our impact on nature. And we're fortunate that a lot of smart people are starting to think about this now and what we could call ecosystem services or green infrastructure, which is really asking the question, what is the value that nature provides for us? We don't often think about a forest as providing thousands and thousands of dollars in terms of air purification or water conservation and things like that. But utilizing a permaculture lens to be able to look at the value that nature provides for us, I think will ultimately train people to see that we have to figure out ways to reintegrate humanity with nature. We've been operating for quite some time thinking that we're separate from nature. And what we're ultimately finding is that we are extremely interconnected with nature. So it's really my hope that by getting this type of systems thinking out in front of people, we can change the minds of lots of folks that are going to grow up and make decisions that impact all of us.
What are the biggest challenges you think you face in trying to make this our default way of thinking, the idea of not being separate from nature?
I think that we're currently stuck in a lot of patterns right now on planet Earth.
Old patterns.
Yeah, old patterns. We've got systems of doing business that are really based on growth year after year after year. It's like we don't have a sustainable company unless we're growing. And what we're realizing is that that's actually the opposite of sustainability. What we want to do is to be able to almost draw a circle around ourselves and say, can we produce everything that we need within this local economy? Can we supply all of our needs for food, energy, building, transportation, and waste within our immediate community? And can we do that in ways that empower people to take responsibility for themselves? You know, as we're seeing so much upheaval and change in the world right now, this new generation of younger kids and millennials are sort of not buying the old story and really interested in trying new ways of relating to planet Earth. And I think that's something that permaculture, why it's so popular with a new generation of younger people, is because it resonates with them that this feels right. We need to take into account our impact on the Earth. The biggest challenge we're really seeing is just almost bringing down the old guard to be able to demonstrate that this is the way forward and we only have one planet to make these choices on.
Nate Ayers, founder and director of Chiwara Permaculture Research and Education in Ann Arbor. Thank you very, very much for sharing your work with us.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
And we always want to hear from you. What stories are you focusing on or people that you want to hear more about? Just let us know. It's very easy. You can find us on Facebook. Search for Stateside with Cynthia Canty. We're also on Twitter at Stateside Radio. And as always, MichiganRadio.org. And click the link that says Stateside.